Hello, neighbor. I'm Pat Boone, inviting you to join my friend Greg Van Beek for Nostalgia Radio Time coming up next on 1420 AM The Breeze.
Go, Joe, go!
A mix of some of the finest music from legendary performers and personalities of the greatest generation, along with complete vintage broadcasts from the golden age of radio, mix it together, and that's Nostalgia Radio Time. Welcome everyone to our 200th episode. Hard to believe we've been doing this for 200 weeks straight. Sure doesn't seem like it. We have a very exciting program today, a very special guest joining us, and if our intro is any indication, I think you can guess who it is. Pat Boone will be joining us for the hour, and we're going to kick things off with the song that really kicked off Pat's career in May of 1955. Here he is with Fats Domino's Ain't That a Shame.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. My heart, when you said we'll part, ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Farewell, goodbye.
Special guest Pat Boone kicking off the 200th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time with his 1955 hit, Ain't That a Shame. If you'd like to share your memories of Pat Boone, you can email them to me at nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com and we'll be happy to feature some of them on upcoming programs. Or you can post them to our Facebook group or tweet them to us at NRT on WJUB. Any number of ways to get in touch with us here on NRT. Pat Boone is a true legend in the world of music and entertainment. His list of accomplishments is staggering. He sold over 45 million albums, had 38 top 40 hits, and appeared in more than 12 movies. In fact, there wasn't a time between 1955 and 1959 when this gentleman's name didn't appear on the Billboard charts. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the program the star of the Chevy showroom and the man who single-handedly made white buck shoes all the rage, Mr. Pat Boone.
Hi, Greg. Good to be with you.
Well, it's truly an honor to have you with us, Pat. With a career spanning over 60 years, we're only going to be able to scratch the surface on this program, but I'm sure we'll bring back some memories to our listeners, and that's our goal.
I get the shivers when I hear you say it's over 60 years, but it surely has been. I can still remember being nervous about to go on Perry Como's 15-minute TV show on the CBS, because back then Eddie Fisher and Perry and others had 15-minute shows, and
right.
then he went from there to NBC and his hour on Saturday nights. And I was offered his 15-minute slot on CBS, but his sponsor was Chesterfield Cigarettes. And since I didn't smoke, I didn't feel I could advertise that product. And so I turned down my first TV opportunity, but eventually along came Chevrolet, and turned out I was driving one, so I went to work for them.
Well, let's start by talking about that show, The Chevy Showroom, which aired on ABC television from 1957 to 1960. You were the youngest performer to host his own network TV variety show at the time, right?
Yeah, I was 22, I think, when we started. And I was 23 when I graduated from Columbia University. During the same time that I was hosting that show weekly on ABC, and that was 39 weeks a year, in the summertime I'd made a couple of big hit movies, April Love and Bernadine, and was having hit records, and four kids graduated at 23 from Columbia University with four kids. I was on the cover of TV Guide in my cap and gown, and you open it up, and there's a picture of my wife Shirley and our four little girls. And all of this while I was doing the Chevy show once a week on Thursday nights, ABC. And I don't know how. People ask me how I got all that done in that time frame, and I don't know. All I know is I did it. I got used to maybe 4 or 5 hours sleep a night, and I was often running on good health and enthusiasm. I was energized by the fun and the excitement of having all these opportunities at once.
Now, the Chevy Showroom was a half-hour show at the time when Dinah Shore was on with her hour-long show for Chevy, right?
Right. And they were both on at the same time. Hers was on Sunday nights for an hour. Mine was on ABC on Thursday nights for a half hour. And, you know, they ran a sponsor identification research test at one point about my third year. And to see whose shows were and sponsors were more closely identified with the performer, or the, quote, celebrity. And I came out number one with Chevrolet, even ahead of Dinah with her hour show. Wow. And ahead of Tennessee Ernie, whose last name was the same as his sponsor, Ford.
That's right.
So I did a good job selling Chevrolets.
I should say you did. Did they give you a new Corvette to drive?
They did. A new fuel injection Corvette every year, and the biggest station wagon for Shirley, me, and the four girls. So it was a very, very good cooperation.
And did you close your shows like Dinah did with See the USA in your Chevrolet?
Yep, I did. And with the big smooch, the USA in your Chevrolet, America's inviting you to call mwah. Yeah, that's the way I ended the show. Yeah.
No, that brings back a lot of memories, Pat. You have a brand new album out titled Pat Boone Duets, which contains musical moments from the Chevy Showroom featuring some of the equally legendary names you sang with on the show. There's also a companion DVD titled Love Letters in the Sands of Time of video performances from the show, all of which are available at your website, patboone.com.
Yeah, I don't know how we came up with that very inventive name, patboone.com. but we did, and yes, that album, we've released it on vinyl, 33 and a third, on proudly Monaural Sound, as well as the CD, and then, of course, the DVD with all the live performances, with Nat Cole, with Ella Fitzgerald, with Tony Bennett, with Andy Williams, with Connie Francis, with Count Basie and George Shearing, and even Roy Rogers and my wife and four little kids. All of this and live performance, and we could put this album out because I'm the only one that has all that material. And fortunately, we'd saved the videotapes of the shows. They were actually kinescopes then. They were films of the shows,
yes.
but they were saved on some sort of film or tape. But we digitally remastered and re-recorded the songs. I mean, we didn't actually make new recordings, but we ran them through all the software processes that make it all sound so alive and right now. And I am so proud of that album because for a guy that was 23, and 24, to be able to sing, stand shoulder to shoulder with those legends like Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald, was unbelievable that I could actually stand up straight and sing, you know. But I somehow, the fact that I was so busy with family, with other things, school, I would show up at the studio to rehearse and work with one or more of these legends, and it was just one part of my day. I had other things I was equally involved in and excited about, or obligated to do.
Yeah.
So somehow, it was just another thing I had to do in that particular day, was sing a duet or two with Ella Fitzgerald or Nat King Cole, and I did it like that, as if it was easy. And for me at the time, it was. It was just thoroughly enjoyable, and it's all right there on the album. I really am proud of it.
Oh, as you should be. It's a fine album, and I'd like to feature some cuts from this new duets album. The first one featuring a smooth baritone voice singer who left us far too young 50 years ago, Nat King Cole. By all accounts, he was a genuinely nice man and a joy to work with. Is that how you found him to be?
Yes, very much. So I always called him a real gentleman. I knew him not just on that show. That was the first time I did meet him. But later I was in Japan touring, and so was he. And we had dinner together, and one or more other times where we just were together as friends and fellow performers. He was older than I was. But these older performers were so kind to me and treated me as if I was already an equal or a peer to them, and I became that. But you know, they could have been looking down their nose at this upstart, this pipsqueak. Who does he think he is? Instead, they treated me as if I was already on their level, and so you know, listening to it, it sounds like I was.
I think this next musical collaboration is one of my favorite memories from the show, musically and personally. It's from October 1st, 1959.
Here comes a song I wish I'd recorded first.
Well, why don't you take a chance at it?
I don't know. It's your song.
Well, this happens to be your show.
You've got a point there.
There was They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea.
Mind if I cut in?
Go ahead.
A little shy and sad of eyes, but very wise was he.
And here I come again.
Take the high notes.
And then one day, that magic day, he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me.
What is
the greatest thing you ever learned? Just to love and be loved in return.
What about the future? The business changing by the minute.
Said it too. You got to please the public for just as long as you are in it.
Well, I'm getting that. That's it.
Well, let's give them what they're buying.
There ain't no use to fight a guinea.
None at all.
He comes on like a rose, but everybody knows she'll get you in dust. You better not touch a poison ivy. Poison ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a creeping all around.
measles make you bumpy, mumps will make you lumpy, and chickenpox will make you jump and twitch. I'm common cold and rue ya, and whooping coughing to ya, but poison ivy and rot will make you itch. You're gonna need an ocean, calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound. Around a poison ivy.
You had a veritable who's who of showbiz royalty on the show, including the First Lady of Song, Ella Fitzgerald. Hearing her incredible voice is a thrill in itself, but what was it like to actually perform with her?
It was such a delight. I was fascinated with her when she went into the scatting that she was famous for, and all I could do was stand there and listen to her use her voice as a trained musical instrument, like it was a wind instrument, which the voice is, but like it was a trumpet or a trombone or a saxophone, and just make up these riffs on the spot and then come right back in at the exact second into the song. And I was supposed to be singing with her. And though I did not count the bars or count the time, I could tell by the chords that it was just about time for her to quit scatting and for us both to sing. And I came right in with her. But it was, I don't know what it's like standing next to Einstein while he's putting dotting his last I on his theory of relativity, or Rembrandt when he's just finishing maybe the Michelangelo sculpture or something. I don't mean Michelangelo, but the Jesus sculpture. So yeah. Anyway, it was. I knew I was working with a genius, but she was so nice, and eventually she became not my next door neighbor, but the next street over. I would sometimes be jogging in the morning, and Ella would come out on the front porch to pick up her milk or paper, and we'd wave and say hi to each other as I went jogging by. So we were neighbors.
My next guest is called the First Lady of Song. She won 13 Grammys. She sold over 40 million albums worldwide. And she once said, "The only thing better than singing is more singing." She was so right.
A daily fight, sleepless night, quick to bargain when you reach the height. I miss the kisses and I miss the bite. I wish I were in love again.
Word if sighed, black and dyed, the words I love you till the day I die. The self-deceptions that believe the lie. I wish I were in love again.
No more care.
No despair.
Be punch
drunk.
Believe me, sir, I much prefer the classic battle of a him and her.
I don't like quiet, and I wish I were in love again.
Pulled out fur of cat and cur.
By the finest mating of a him and her.
We learned a lesson when we said we were in love
again.
Well, our couple may stay mad for a while, but it'll all thaw out.
Yeah, trouble never wins when the music begins. That's
what they say.
Mm-hmm.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
It don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is sing. Do I, 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 do I.
Makes no difference if it's sweet.
Just give that rhythm everything you've got.
Oh, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Ba-dee-dee-da-dee-dee-dee-da.
Don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing.
Ba-dee-dee-da-da-dee-dee-dee-da-ba-dee-dee-da.
It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot.
Just give that rhythm everything you've got.
Oh, don't mean a
a thing if it ain't got that swing.
I'd like to talk for a moment about Andy Williams, who was a guest on the Chevy Showroom around the same time he was starting his own successful TV variety show. What an incredible range he had when he sang. It must have been a thrill to sing with him as well.
Yeah, and we had kind of a mutual admiration society. He started with Steve Allen, along with Edie Gourmet and Steve Lawrence. They were the background. They were the singers, featured vocalists with Steve Allen. And then Andy began to record. Well, I had already had a number of hit records, though I was younger than he was. I had hit records before he did. And so when he was a guest on my show, he was, well, in a way, he was looking up to me because he was shorter. But he literally was looking up to me. But I knew he was a rare talent vocally, and that meant that I had to sing my best. But on this CD and album of duets, we do a sort of a comical version of a rock version of Tenderly, and actually, of course, Tenderly was never rock and roll, but we sang it as if it was a rock and roll song, like perhaps recorded by the Platters or one of the other rock groups. And it was fun to do, but you can tell that there's a real vocal ability required to do what we were doing.
And then there was the show where Andy Williams asked if we could do a rock and roll version of Tenderly. Well, you sort of had to be there. It was not a hit.
Oh, 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 the evening breeze,
beauty,
embrace the breeze,
love,
tender, shalimara, 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 leave the trembling tree,
yip, 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 yip,
embrace the breeze. Get a job. Tender.
I like short shorts. We like short shorts. Your arms open wide and help me inside.
You took my lips, boo-wah. You took my love. So tenderly.
Well, you've had such a string of greatest hits throughout your career that we'd be remiss if we didn't include a few of them here and talk about them. First one I'd like to talk about is Love Letters in the Sand, which was a number one hit for 5 weeks in June and July of 1957, spending a total of 34 weeks on the charts. It was actually written in 1931, and while no recordings of the broadcast exist, logbooks show that Bing Crosby performed that song that year on his radio show for Cremo Cigars. His influence on your phrasing and vocal style is certainly evident on that recording, particularly in the whistling chorus.
Yeah, you know, Bing was my role model. I mean, he was the guy I wanted to be like, and I knew I couldn't imitate him. Nobody wants to be taken seriously as a singer. We'll just imitate somebody else. So I wanted my style, my approach to singing, though, to be somewhat reminiscent, because his always seemed so effortless, so casual, and yet right on time, right on pitch. He was my idea of the pluperfect pop singer. Frank Sinatra came along later, and of course, in his own way, was never to be equaled. But Bing, he had more actual chart records than anybody ever, and one of those, I don't know if it did chart, but as you say, he did sing it on radio, "Love Letters in the Sand." After that, Rudy Vallee performed it on his radio show, and
yes.
And so eventually Randy Wood of Dot Records, when he used to put out packages of records, like five, he had a record store called Randy's Record Shop, and it was that actually was the springboard of his recording company. But he would advertise five records for the price of three, and he noticed whenever he put Bing Crosby's, I think it was Bing Crosby's record of "Love Letters in the Sand," the package sold more. As you said, I don't know if it charted. I never checked to see if it hit the charts, but people loved his version of "Love Letters in the Sand." So eventually, Randy had me record it, and it had not been released when I made my first movie, Bernadine. Johnny Mercer wrote all the original music for that first teen musical. But we needed one more song, and so Randy proposed that we have me sing or use my recording of "Love Letters in the Sand" in the movie Bernadine. And so it didn't have anything to do with the story, just me as a young kid in a meeting room by myself, just in a chair leaning back against the wall, singing this nostalgic song. And then we put it as a B-side on the record of Bernadine. Bernadine, the Johnny Mercer written title song of my first film, it went to the top 10, sold well over a million records, and when it looked like it had peaked, the DJs flipped the record over to see what was on the other side, and when they started playing "Love Letters in the Sand," the phones lit up and never quit. I mean, it was the B-side to start with, but it became the A-side, and we had two big million-selling singles on the one record.
On a day like today, we pass the time away, writing love letters in the sand. How you laughed when I cried each time saw the time take our love letters from the sand. You made a vow that you would ever be true, but somehow
over love letters.
special guest Pat Boone on this 200th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time with his million-selling record from the summer of 1957, Love Letters in the Sand. Getting back to my interview with Pat, April Love was the theme song of the 1957 film in which you co-starred with Shirley Jones. It became a number one hit for you in December of that year. Did you enjoy making films, or did you prefer your work on television more? I know Perry Como made a number of films early in his career, but reportedly disliked the slow, tedious process of spending a day or more just to film one short scene.
The thing I most enjoyed was recording. I think I've recorded more songs and more genres than most anybody ever. Maybe Bing or Frank recorded as many or more actual titles, songs. But I'm somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 songs.
Wow.
Recorded. And in my case, gospel, country, rock and roll, movie themes, love songs, folk tunes, just almost anything you can think of, I've enjoyed and had some success with. So I love recording more than anything, but live performing, I enjoyed that too. And movies, yes, movies were harder work even than television, because television, the way I was doing it in the earlier days, you know, you rehearsed, you did one take, you only did one show, and it was all live. And
yes,
good, bad, or indifferent, that was it. With movies, you have to do a scene until the director thinks you've got it right, and you might do four lines or 20 lines in a scene, and if the director didn't think that you captured quite the right feeling or didn't get it all right, he would say, let's do that again. And again, and again, and again. I tried to always get my scenes in one take if I could, and it became known as One Take Boone when I was recording not just music but commercials and endorsements and, you know, one-minute spots on radio or TV. I became known as First Take Boone because I really tried to make each one the best I knew how, and if it was good, why do it again? Because, you know, you lead up to a performance, you do it, and that's it. And, of course, you try to make it the best you know how. And even though later you might say, well, I think I could have done this or that a little better. Too bad. It's already done. So you might as well just relax and enjoy what you did. And so I love that about television. I like live TV. And movies, though I enjoyed doing them, were, I think, the hardest work.
Every star's a wishing star that shines for you. April love is all the seven wonders. One little kiss can tell you this is true. Sometimes an April day will suddenly bring showers, rain to grow the flowers for her first bouquet. But April love can slip right through your fingers. So if she's the one, don't let her run away. Sometimes an April day will suddenly bring showers, rain to grow the flowers for her first bouquet.
Moody River was a smash hit for you in 1961. In fact, you became one of the rare guests on the Lawrence Welk show that year to lip-sync to your recording of the song. The song was so popular that even a few years later, Frank Sinatra recorded a version.
Yeah, and you know what? That was not lip-sync. That was live performance. He and the band did a very good approximation of the recording, and I look at it now and I'm amazed. I know they did a lot of lip-syncing on the Lawrence Welk show, and why not? Because it was the performers, and Lawrence being something of a real stickler for perfection and doing it right, and not a lot of ad-libbing, that a lot of his performers, particularly if they were duets or groups, they did lip-sync. You couldn't tell, and who cared? But me, I was a solo performer, and Lawrence had his band play Moody River, which, and he made it sound almost like the record. He and I, by the way, were on the same label, Dot Records. So,
yes.
And Randy Wood was a close friend of his and mine, and we all played golf together. So I got to know Lawrence and his family really well. I liked them a lot. They were wonderful people, great sense of humor. And though he had some difficulty with pronunciation of English, still, he was just a genuine, hardworking person who, if you would do your job on his show or anybody else's, you had his respect and his admiration, and you'd get along great. Of course, his friend Randy Wood was in the studio and wanted it to sound just like the record. But, you know, in those days, I look at my own shows, and if you see that, PBS special and that the videos of me singing my songs on television live, you could swear I was lip syncing. In fact, when I saw some of those performances like 35 years later, I thought, boy, I'm doing a great job lip syncing those songs. And then I thought, wait a minute, I didn't have lip syncing. I didn't do lip syncing back then. That's a live performance. But it was like Crosby. Crosby was, as I say, my role model. And I determined to not act like it was work of any kind, singing. And somehow you can't tell it in my throat. Sometimes when people are singing, you can see their veins in their neck stand out a little bit, or they're straining to hit notes. In my case, I actually, when I saw how effortless I seemed, I thought, well, people are going to think I'm not emotionally involved. And so I would, you know, kind of wrinkle my eyebrow, or I would make some kind of an expression to let on that it was more work than it actually was, or than it showed to be. And and I amazed myself later at how I could sing difficult songs, demanding songs, and it looked like I might have been lip-syncing because it didn't seem to be any particular effort.
Night. Moody River, your muddy
looking back at me. Tears in his eyes and a prayer on his lips, and the glove of his lost love at his fingertips. Moody River, more deadly than the vainest knife. Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life.
You recorded a novelty song in 1962 that I'm sure all baby boomers will remember, Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, yeah.
Which is such a fun song, you can't help but smile listening to it, especially when Mel Blanc does Speedy's voice.
Yes, Mel was the voice of a cartoon character, Speedy, and I heard that song first in the Philippines.
Oh.
And it was a hit by an American artist, an RCA Victor, American artist named David Dante, or Dante. And yet it was not a hit in the States, it was just a hit in the Philippines. And when I heard it down there, I thought, boy, that should have been a hit in the States. So I brought his record home. I played it for Randy Wood of Dot Records. And then we did record it. A girl named, I wrote the opening, "It Was a Moonlit Night in Old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas." I wrote that myself. And then changed several of the words along the way in the song. Robin Ward, who had a big hit of something last summer, she did the high voice of Rosita, and then Mel Blanc did the voice of Speedy, and it was so much fun to do, and I had to beg Randy Wood to let me record this song, because he knew it had been released by David Dante on RCA, and if it didn't sell records, then maybe it was not a hit. I just knew it was a hit song, and it went to number one very appropriately, faster than any other record I ever made. Speedy Gonzales went right to number one, and it went to number one practically in every country in the world that played American music.
I meant to ask you, was Mel Blanc in the studio with you when you recorded that song?
No, he did his part, separately. Back then, we weren't doing a lot of what they call punch-ins now, where you'd have all the voices and instruments on separate tracks, and you could punch in and do whatever you wanted. We just left it blank, oddly enough, for Mel Blanc. we left the spot open for him to record, and he did his at a different time. I'd love to have been there when he was doing, "Hey, Rosita, come quick. That is the cantina. They're giving green stamps with tequila." I'd like to have been in the studio when he was doing that, but I wasn't. So now in my live performances, I have to do it, as I just did.
You did a pretty good imitation of Mel Blanc.
Well, I had to. Have to. Yeah.
It was a moonlit night in old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas. Suddenly, I heard the plaintive cry of a young Mexican girl. Come home, Speedy Gonzales, away from Tannery Row. Stop all of your drinking with that floozy named Flo. Come on home to your adobe and slap some mud on the wall. The roof is leaking like a strainer. There's loads of roaches in the hall. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, I have to go shopping downtown for my mother. She needs some tortillas and chili peppers.
Your dog is gonna have a puppy, and we're running out of coal. No enchiladas in the icebox, and the television's broke. I saw some lipstick on your sweatshirt, I smell some perfume in your ear. Well, if you're gonna keep on messing, don't bring your business back or here. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, come quick. Down in the cantina, they're giving green stamps with tequila.
Well, I'd like to talk about a man who we touched on briefly before, but whom I know has been a big influence on your career, and that's Bing Crosby. First, I'd like to say on behalf of the entire International Club Crosby, we're honored to have you as an honorary member of Bing's fan club.
Well, I am honored. You know, I got to know Bing. He knew that he was my idol. Before we ever met, he wrote me a letter when it was announced I was about to do my TV show for Chevrolet and was the youngest guy ever to do have his own musical variety show. He wrote me a letter, which his secretary told me later was very rare for him to dictate and do a letter to somebody he hadn't met, just to express or to encourage, which he did. And he said that if I were your manager, I wouldn't have advised you to do a TV show, regular television show, because you can wear out your welcome pretty fast on television, but since you've committed to do it, he said, I wish you well, and I leave you with these words from the famous George M. Cohan, never stay on too long, the above gratis being. I mean, I got that letter from a guy I hadn't met yet, but idolized. And later, Shirley and I, my wife and I, visited with him and Jimmy Van Heusen in Bing's home there in Palm Desert, and looking down on one of the golf courses. And I played golf at and sang at his clam bake up at Pebble Beach for 18 years. And so he would invite me to be on the show with him and Phil Harris and other performers.
Oh, wow.
And I went once on Dinah Shore's show in the daytime. She did a whole hour devoted to Bing.
Yes.
And just had Bing and Phil Harris and me as her guest for the full hour, and I worked up a medley of some of my favorite Crosby songs, and the Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening, and some other, I forget, and then Where the Blue of the Day, I'm blue of the night, meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me, and I sang this medley with a kind of a snap brim hat, and a pipe, and a golf club, and sang those songs with Bing looking at me, and I thought my throat was going to turn to plaster of Paris. Because, you know, here I am singing his songs for my idol. And then we got around a piano, and I sang Love Letters in the Sand for him. And he sang some, and Phil Harris sang some. Dinah joined in, and we won Dinah's first Emmy. That show, her tribute to Bing. And I was so proud to be part of it and to express, you know, my lifelong admiration for my idol, my role model.
Yes.
Pat's current studio album is titled Pat Boone Sings a Tribute to the Ink Spots, featuring Take Six.
I loved those guys. And, of course, I loved recording with Take Six. They also idolized the Ink Spots, the first black group to cross over into pop music. And they were the forerunners of so many others, the Mills Brothers, and Bing loved the Mills Brothers. I don't know if he ever did anything with the Ink Spots, but he did with the Mills Brothers and with Satchmo and other performers. But the Ink Spots, those songs, If I Didn't Care, and You Always Hurt the One You Love, I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire, all those songs.
And Java Jive, yeah.
Java Jive and Cow Cow Boogie. I do that with Ella Fitzgerald, by the way. But Java Jive, they introduced so many great songs that became part of the American Songbook, and I was worried that today's young people never even heard of the Ink Spots, much less heard their music. So I did their songs with Take Six, and I think we made a very, very good album.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, mm-hmm. I love Java sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Just shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, mm-hmm. Oh, slip me a slug from the wonderful mug. I'll cut a rug till I'm snug in the jug. Yeah, a slice of onion and a raw one. Draw one. Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Mm-hmm. Oh, Boston beans, soybeans, and green beans, and cabbage and greens. I'm not keen about a bean, no? Unless it is the cheery, cheery bean, boy. I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, woohoo. I love Java sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Just shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Yeah. Oh, throw me a slug from a wonderful mug. I'll cut a rug till I'm snug in the jug. Just drop me a nickel in the pot, Joe. Taking it slow. Waiter, waiter, percolator. Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, oh yeah.
Well, Pat, you've certainly been very generous with your time, and I'm grateful to you for speaking with me about your remarkable career. I would urge all of our listeners to visit patboone.com and check out these great new albums and many others that Pat has available there.
Come around. Let me sing for you. Yeah. And Greg, congratulations on the longitude of your show.
Well, thank you very much, Pat.
And hope it goes well, and we can do an encore one of these times.
Absolutely. I'd love it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Pat. It's been a genuine pleasure having you with us to celebrate our 200th episode.
Thank you, Greg. Me too.
Go, Joe, go!
And I thank each and every one of you for joining me for our 200th episode here on Nostalgia Radio Time. I'm Greg Van Beek, hoping you'll join me again next week when I once again comb the archives for more music and more memories of the greatest generation. Feel free to email me your comments about the program to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com, or you can post them to our Facebook group or send us a tweet at NRT on WJUB. So until we meet again next week, so long for now.